I want to welcome you to the Loving Our Communities to Christ teleconversation. Today we've scheduled a conversation with both Mac Peer and Tom White, who've traveled to cities across the globe researching and coaching city movements. And there's some new things happening that we think we need to interact with. I'm Phil Migliorati with the Mission America Coalition Cities Communities team, and I co-host with Dennis Uquay of International Renewal Ministries. I'm going to pray and we're going to jump into this right away. Lord, thank you that you love the whole world and that there is no city, large or small, that you are not involved in, that you're unfamiliar with, that you're overwhelmed by. And we thank you that with communication and travel, we're able to find out what you're doing in places that are not just distant by miles, but distant by diversity and culture and language and mindset and philosophy. And so, Lord, as much as we think, I'll speak for myself, as much as I think I've learned a lot, there's so much more to learn. And, Lord, you seem to be bringing what we would call global cities into our context soon this fall at Movement Day. How can we connect, love one another, learn from one another? So in our very humble way with this call, would you reveal to us things that we need to know and action steps of how to move forward? So, Jesus, we pray and we proceed.
I've got on my phone.
Amen.
Can you put your phone on speaker? I can't. My earphone doesn't work.
I hear someone talking. Hello. If you are not the guest, would you just mute yourself? Phil Migliorati here with Dennis Uquay. Dennis, introduce our situation. Mac Peer is on some jury duty. Kind of set us up and take us away.
Yeah. First of all, I'm excited about this call for a unique reason because I think all the other podcasts that we've done, Phil and I have done, are really focusing on what's going on in cities here in America. And this call is unique in that we're going to go outside of our borders to international cities. And as we thought about that, we thought of both Tom White and Mac Peer, who have had a lot of experience over there in other parts of the world. And, Phil mentioned that that Mac communicated to us just last night saying he got jury duty notice. And so he is off doing important things in New York City, but Tom White is here. And Mac has given us some points, bullet points along the way to talk about. Or as Tom White referred to, he referred to them as Mac Nuggets. I don't know what that means, but Tom, thank you for being on the call. First of all, before we get into what's going on around in other parts of the world, in cities across the world, tell us a bit about you and just your involvement in international cities.
Well, I'm Frontline Ministries, Dennis, and I've been engaged with city movement since around 1981. It goes back like about 35 years. And beginning in Oregon, in my own home city of Corvallis, I've also discovered the Prayer Summit movement and ministry, of which you are currently the leader, in around 1991. So began a journey in my own city, bringing leaders together to build friendship, to build trust, to break down, you know, barriers, theological barriers, and to begin to kind of pray together and develop what I call a rhythm of corporate prayer discipline across our city. So in Oregon, we've been a part of a movement that's now multi-generational in Corvallis for 26 years. I work with and walk with a movement down the road in Eugene. It's actually a countywide movement, the One Hope Network, and they've also been at this around 25 years. And so once I really got involved with the prayer summits, bringing leaders together, I found the Holy Spirit used that context to build trust. You know, what a beautiful thing it is when leaders dwell together, the words of David. And so then in that context, leaders begin to say, okay, what do we do together? How do we cooperate? How do we collaborate to bring the gospel to our city? I began actually taking the prayer summit model overseas to Japan, Australia, Israel for 6 years, meetings in Europe, and the beginning of 2003, many gatherings of leaders and prayer summits across India. And so in 2003, there was an extraordinary breakthrough in Mumbai. About 120 liters in an upper room. Actually, it was an upper tent. And the Holy Spirit just came and broke hearts and convicted those leaders of competition, you know, kind of working in their own little silo mentality. And so out of that was birthed the Mumbai Transformation Network. And currently they are probably the best organized, you know, city transformational movement across India. And so this has also occurred in Australia, the city of Toowoomba, very strong, Adelaide, Perth. And so I've been a part for about 25 years of monitoring many of these cities, not only in the U.S., but across the world. And most recently, and I'll finish here, just most recently I partnered with Mac Peer, who was going to be on this call, with Movement Day. And in October 25 to 27, we'll have 65 nations coming to New York City. And these, very specifically, are leaders of city gospel movements. That's a Tim Keller term, to learn together, to share best practices. The case studies will be Mumbai, Manila, Berlin, and Beijing. And so for us to kind of discern how the Holy Spirit is working in city movements across the world. So I'll be there. I'm kind of in a leadership mix, partnering with Mac, with Movement Day. And so I'm just excited to see the Holy Spirit moving to bring leaders together in deeper trust, to pray together and work together to bring the gospel to their city context. So that's what brings me to this meeting today.
Very good. Very good. Well, before we move away from the thought of Movement Day, and maybe we can come back to that in a bit, give us information. How can we get information about Movement Day?
Probably easiest is just movementday.com. Very simple. That's the website. All the information is there. There's a video piece right there on the front landing page, about a 3 or 4 minute video piece that I think is excellent. And it captures the international feel, the global feel, you know, leaders virtually from Dubai, from India, Australia, Africa, basically inviting leaders of city movements from around the world to participate. So movementday.com will get you there. You know, the early bird rate has still been extended through July 31. And so if you want to learn, if you want to get alongside leaders of global city movements, you know, from Dubai, Berlin, Toowoomba, Australia, Manila, Beijing, really get alongside some of these leaders and say, okay, how's God working in your city? What do I need to learn as an ethnocentric American, somebody who's pretty much just locked into my own cultural mindset? So a lot to learn, a lot of best practices, I think, that we can benefit from.
Very good. Well, as you have trotted around the world with a sort of a 50-yard line ticket, to see what God is doing in different cities and to help those movements, what are some things that you have learned? Since Mac gave us some talking points, maybe share a little bit about sort of on the macro level. What are some big picture things that's happening in the world that eventually we can glean from here?
You know, I'll quickly share, Dennis, just a few hot spots. India, clearly a hot spot. You know, I designed a consultation called the City Advance, and we did the first global prototype in Mumbai in February. So 30 city movements across India, around 200 leaders. So very much of a keen desire across the nation for leaders to walk together and work together. South Africa, very strong. They're bringing probably 300 leaders to New York. The UK, good friend Roger Sutton is tracking currently 120 cities across the UK that are moving in John 17 unity. Most people would not know this. Berlin, Germany, is one of the strongest city gospel movements on the planet. The movement is called Together Berlin, a place that was divided by a wall. That wall has come down. The body of Christ is working together. They're working with the government to try to figure out how to embrace refugees coming out of Syria, the Middle Eastern crisis. Indonesia is also a very strong hotspot. The bigger question, what have I learned? Here are some things that we can take away as, you know, leaders of movements in U.S. cities. We need to follow the Holy Spirit and not a program. We are very prone to a Western mindset. You know, what are the principles here? What are the next steps? How do we systematize this? How do we programatize this? We must listen to the Holy Spirit and follow His initiative. So global cities are better at that than we are. Secondly, and I observed this in India, in Israel for sure.
Tom, hold on a minute. Before you move away from that one key point,
right.
I just want to say something to me that one. Because if we don't get anything else, I think that's the key thing. And, you know, just listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to Cincinnati. Don't listen to Detroit. Don't listen to New York. Don't listen to what's going on in another city. But be encouraged by what's going on in another city, but listen to the Lord. So I just didn't want us to miss that. I want us to sort of ponder that a minute more. So, but thank you. Point number one, and point number two and three, follow the Holy Spirit. Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, and with that, Dennis, is that prayer is imperative, not an option.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, leaders in other places of the world are desperate. They're desperately aware that the power of God and His favor are really going to come when we pray, you know, not just in one meeting, but we pray in a corporate rhythm regularly, praying for our city, for the lost, for broken, needy people. And so, you know, one simple example, Siliguri, India, it's in the Northeast, small city of only 2 million. It's just a little bump in the road by Indian standards. I gave them every bit of coaching I could. Set up a team, have an agenda, make decisions, you know, send Tom White a copy of your agenda. They didn't do any of it. And what they did do was follow my counsel to meet every Saturday morning and pray for their city. They began to do that, and the Holy Spirit began guiding them, you know, to do an open-air meeting, to proclaim the gospel. And so they are seeing strongholds of Hinduism broken. They're seeing, you know, West Bengalis and Bihari individuals coming into the kingdom. So they simply are an example of that principle of listen to the Holy Spirit, obey what He says, and then walk forward in unity and prayer. So, you know, just another couple of quick ones here. It's not what I've learned is that leadership is essential for the long haul. Now, we remember Eugene Peterson's title, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Well, if there's going to be a movement that's going to see breakthrough and see increased harvest of souls, leaders need to step up and lead a movement like this over the long haul. They need to get a word from God and then walk in that word. And, you know, most cities are very complex. And there are systems within systems. Even in the kingdom, there's pastors, there's leaders of nonprofits, there's business leaders, prayer leaders, millennial leaders, denominational leaders. You have people with a different grid, different mindset. So who or what is going to bring leaders like that together? And it's leaders that step up and issue a call and say, look, we must pray together for our city. We must commit to the long haul. We must commit to doing this until Jesus comes on behalf of our city. So Tim Keller calls this a kingdom ecosystem. And that combination of churches, pastors, marketplace leaders, prayer leaders, young and old, men and women, they come together to say, how can we walk together to bring a witness of oneness to our city, so that the world will see and believe that Jesus is the only answer.
Excellent. Excellent. Follow the Holy Spirit, pray, and lead. Well done. Talk to us. Take us to one or two of the cities that you've been to. You've given us some bits and pieces of some things, but take us to a city, for example, in India, or for example, in Israel, or wherever, one of the different cities you've been to, and unpack that a little bit about the specifics of what's going on. Brag on Godwin.
Yeah, I'll brag on Mumbai a bit. These are just amazing leaders, a huge City, 22 million souls. Oh. And it seems daunting, overwhelming. How do you start? The largest single slum in all of Asia. And yet, in 2003, the Holy Spirit broke into their hearts and virtually broke their hearts. And they said, okay, we are going to walk together in this. They formed a leadership group, the Mumbai Transformation Network, saturating everything in prayer. And so their leadership team is somewhere 25, 30 individuals. But they identified the key issues in their city. Sex trafficking, the sex trade obviously was huge. Bollywood, the Indian movie industry. They decided together to say, how do we reach the upper class? How do we reach the intellectual business class of India? So they identified these various areas in which they would partner. And so they're seeing measurable breakthrough. They're having influence in the court system. Many of the judges are very much aware of the united body of Jesus Christ praying across the city. That's one example. Skopje, Macedonia. Eastern Europe. It is the strongest, best organized city gospel movement in Eastern Europe. They are bringing 10 individuals from their leadership group to New York City in October. And a lot of strongholds, stronghold of Islam is very powerful, gypsies, occultism. And so there's been a lot of resistance, a lot of warfare. You know, when you begin to say, we're going to take Jesus seriously and walk together in his love, the same depth of love that the Trinity experiences, we're going to walk in that. The devil hates it. And so that's why Jesus prays in John 17 three times, Father, protect them, cover them, shield them as they're walking together in love. So as I worked and walked with the leaders of Skopje, Macedonia, we took some heavy hits. There was a lot of warfare resistance. And so they have pressed through together. And continue to pray for one another. So they've had some open air meetings, some gospel presentations across their city. So they're working together and seeing some real kingdom fruit result. And I'll mention Kingston, Canada. It's a small city of 125,000. It's in the province of Ontario. It's not one of the major leading cities of Canada, but they took Jesus seriously. They began to love on one another, walk together. They invited Ravi Zacharias in 2 years ago. He had access to every school. They had a business luncheon that sold out in 3 days, 400 business leaders. They filled the hockey arena. Now, in Canada, when you fill the hockey arena for a kingdom event, that's transformation.
That's great.
I mean, that is their cultural thing, you know, is hockey. And so Ravi Zacharias presented the gospel to the whole city. And so, you know, when leaders make a commitment to that long obedience in the same direction, to actually be that witness of oneness and follow the Holy Spirit, I believe that's when we begin to see breakthrough.
Well done. Good. Phil, any question or input here?
Tom, a couple of things come to my mind. One is, and I know you've alluded to it, but we don't mean this is a commercial for Movement Day, but for those who would consider it, how will that be a learning community? You know, I think some events get the trendy words and they put new words to what they're doing, but it's still the same thing they've done in the past. I'm not criticizing Movement Day for what they've done in the past. My point is, from what you know of the sweep of that, frankly, 3-4, for some people, 5 days, what makes it a learning community and not just going to another, you know, workshop with a talking head kind of thing? Can you respond to that?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, Phil. And, you know, I've been to many large gatherings. It's hard to get traction. I mean, it's hard to see 6 months after a big event what you've received and, you know, what has come out of it. So some of it is going to be the intentionality of structure, of actually mixing and mingling leaders from these different global cities with leaders from the United States and from Canada and England and Europe, the intentionality of getting leaders kind of mixing together and not just for like a short perfunctory prayer, not just for a slap on the back, hi, how are you, but engagement. engagement, and particularly in the breakouts, you know, where we're going to have a significant amount of time to get, you know, a leader from Mumbai talking to Miami, talking to Berlin, or talking to Manchester, UK. And so I know Glenn Smith. He was the mastermind behind Cape Town, and they have some significant challenges actually getting leaders learning together, different mindset, different language. So we're really working hard to say, how do we engage together? Now, it's not just movement day, 3 days, but we're talking about people coming in for the week and talking about, you know, some of these leaders from different regions meeting on Monday and then also meeting Thursday afternoon for 3 hours for a well-structured debrief time. What did we hear? What did we just experience? What's the Holy Spirit witnessing to our hearts? What's a best practice? What did we get from Berlin? What did we receive from Manila, Philippines, and what they're doing? And then how do we actually make some strategic decisions and some next steps? I'm going to be the first to say this is not easy. This does not happen quickly. But there's some good minds involved in this that have been a part of a lot of big gatherings to say, okay, how do we really structure this to get some concrete action steps coming out of this? And mm-hmm. I think the technology through, you know, website design, internet webinars to post this kind of information, that's all pretty much in the works. So good. I would encourage, you know, a city from the U.S. coming, you've already got relationship probably with missions, some connections overseas. Select a region, select a city you want to connect with. Identify a partner city, come and just let the Holy Spirit guide you to connect with another leader from another city, at least one, potentially two or three. That would be huge.
You talked about us, Tom, being, I'm not sure the word was ethnocentric, but, you know, as Americans, of course, as a stereotype, everyone's different a little bit, but we tend to think of just ourselves, and I'm concerned that the first thought with international cities is, well, we're ahead of them, because for so much of history, America has been ahead of international cities and all other categories. I guess what I hear you saying is maybe we're not ahead of them in the strategic or spiritual discernment of how to reach a city. So you may disagree with that, but what's the first question? My fear is that most of us, maybe I'm just revealing myself, my first question would be to an international leader who maybe has thousands more people that they have stewardship of than I do. My first question might be, so what do you do, as opposed to how do you think? What would be the first question we should be asking or listening for, as opposed to what we might typically ask somebody? I don't know if I'm making sense on that. Just bail me out here.
Well, we've got mostly United States practitioners on the line. It could be 7, 10, 15, 20 people listening to this. Some will listen to the podcast. I'll just say it straight. Our culture in the United States is imploding.
Yes.
We are in serious trouble. We are not seeing a pervasive spiritual awakening across the nation. I was a part of the Promise Keeper gathering, Standing in the Gap, 1997, right here in D.C. I'm in Washington, D.C. currently. Tremendous gathering, a lot of anticipation for a national awakening across the nation. That has not happened. I personally believe that it's on God's heart to bring online city gospel movements in city after city after city across the United States for breakthrough, to build a kingdom model so people can actually see what it is for believers to walk together, to pray together, to reach out to the broken and the needy, to have answers for racial tension rather than just rhetoric. And Phil, I think we need to repent of our ethnocentric pride as Americans, that we have the answers. We're the center of the universe. Innovation comes from us. I think we need to repent and say to God, we are desperate for your favor. We're desperate to walk in your way, not our way. We're desperate to take Jesus seriously in John 17, to take Paul seriously in Ephesians 4, where he says, look, get over it. Deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, make every effort to walk in the unity of the Holy Spirit and to pray together and to break strongholds. to bring down strongholds of darkness and evil. That's only going to come in a city where I know who I'm walking with and praying with and working with. And we need to learn from Mumbai. We need to learn from the saints in Manila, you know, that have learned how to pray desperately. We need to learn from Berlin, okay, where they are touching the lives of marginalized people, you know, gypsies and, you know, young people on drugs. And they're now saying, how do we invite desperate refugee Syrian families into our homes as Christians? I mean, there are many of these cities on the cutting edge. They're well organized. They have marvelous strategies. And yes, I'm saying very clearly, we need to learn from them. We need to repent of our, you know, self-sufficiency and our pride that, boy, we're America and we've got the answers. We're in trouble and we need help.
Good words. It makes me think of the scripture, submit to one another, that I need to come to, whether it's a workshop in Movement Day context or even reading information, however I connect with what God is doing in a global city or through a global leader. And my attitude really needs to be, Lord, what can you teach me? What can you deposit into me from this person? I think that's you know, vital and wise counsel. Let me kind of turn that around a little bit and then, Dennis, back to you. As a coach, in some ways, no matter where you, I'm speaking of your experience, Tom, no matter where you go, every coach basically starts with the same thing. You know, Lord, what's the question? You know, you follow the Lord's leading. But are you finding yourself coaching differently in what we would call global cities rather than American cities? Have you learned things there about coaching a city movement, a gospel movement, that now you're changing how you do it, so-called back home, domestically?
Mm-hmm.
Is it very different? Do you kind of grab one briefcase for one and one for the other? As a coach, because anybody who listens to this call in some context does coaching either in their city or for other cities. What have you learned about that process?
Very good question, Phil. And I'll say, you know, three of the core things that I share anywhere, whether it's U.S., Canada, overseas, can be very simple. I believe leaders need to be committed to build three sustainable cultures. I mean, I would call this my Tom White shtick.
You're right?
Three sustainable cultures. One, a culture of honor, biblical honor, John 17, Ephesians 4, honoring one another, preferring one another. That's friendship. We'll say, okay, let's be friends as leaders. Secondly, a sustainable culture of prayer and a rhythm of corporate prayer discipline across the city that we commit to. And then thirdly, a culture of collaboration. How do we partner together? How do we bring our best assets together to bring the gospel of Jesus to the city? So I share that kind of everywhere, anywhere. Now, once I do that, in response to your question, how do I coach differently overseas? The model of Siliguri, Northeast India, they took me to school. They didn't know it, but they taught me. Because I could not impose my westernized coaching system on them, but I learned to back off and learn from them. When they said, well, you know, we appreciated what you shared, it was helpful, you know, pointed us in a direction, but you know, we politely ignored you, and we decided to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, when I heard that, I could have been threatened. I could have been a bit miffed, a bit annoyed. Frankly, I was a little bit. And and yet I learned there, that, okay, it's not just me knowing, you know, everything I need to know about this and passing it on. But they need to take it. They need to run with it. They need to obviously contextualize it. The same thing happened in Israel with leading many prayer summits. There's some of the most difficult prayer summits I've ever done were in Jerusalem. I mean, to tell you, just, you know, like independently thinking, you know, who are you? Why should we listen to you? And yet that covenantal spirit of John 17 fell in their hearts. They contextualized it beyond just Jerusalem, and they turned it into sitting at Yeshua's feet. for the whole nation, kingdom leaders across the nation of Israel. And they do this now two times a year, where they go into the desert, they go to Beersheba, the Negev, they go to the Golan Heights, and they go into retreat. And these are Messianic Jews, Gentile believers, Arab Christians, four generations from 90 years old down to teenagers. These are kingdom believers who come together to sit at the feet of Yeshua. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. And so they took that and ran with it. And I was out of the picture. So this might be the most important thing I say on this call. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to be effective as a consultant, as a coach, I need to know when to step in with helpful input. But more importantly, I need to know when to step away and even step out and not get any credit and let them own what God's given them and cheer them on from a distance and intercede for them without my name being on it, without me getting any credit. Because if I'm truly going to be effective, I believe I need to embrace hiddenness. As an American kingdom person, to retreat, to withdraw. I think this is basically John saying, I must decrease and Jesus increase.
Wow.
And I think that's where I become effective, where I give them all I know to give them, but let them run, let them contextualize, and let them lead. That's, I think, where we're going to get our best fruit in global settings.
Thank you, Tom.
Well done. Good. There are others on the call. Let's invite you into this process here, into this discussion. Introduce yourself, and if you have a comment or a question for Tom or on this topic, and step up to the microphone, and it's your turn. Let's not have a lot of silence. Someone just go for it here, please.
This is Kobe. And hi, Tom. That was really good, bro.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Good to be with you all.
Allow me to interject. Everybody be praying for Kopi. He's got some medical stuff going on. Is that okay that I said that, Kopi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not a secret, bro. You can just tell whatever you want.
All right. Well, pray for this great brother. We love him.
Amen.
Yeah. Good. Good to hear your voice, Kofi.
Likewise.
Yeah, hey, let's get together and do a bowl of spaghetti someday.
There you go. I can never get away from that one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. So is there a question or a comment regarding what we've heard here, these three posts, honor, prayer, and collaboration, the points of following the Holy Spirit, et cetera? What are your comments about how that's getting worked out in your context, in your city?
Well, this is John from McKinney. I wanted to affirm the three points: follow the Holy Spirit. We must pray with the rhythm and leadership for the long haul. God has led me to pray for our city, McKinney, this year. Not being known here, basically, this is a much prayed for city, and God has led me in those principles. Not to copycat what others have done, like in Richardson. And he's led a few of us to do once a month prayer walks. So very primary primitive steps, primarily to walk in Jesus' delegated authority. He gave us, in my understanding, gave it back to us at the cross. And so Satan's on borrowed time and borrowed territory in McKinney, in my view. And so we're prayer walking, reclaiming, focus on the lost, which I also heard. That's the way we're led and advised. So we're doing that in different venues. We'll be at the college the end of this month. So question would be, with that introduction, from any of you, what additional counsel or just reinforcement do you have for us? We're not trading on, there's a lot of great leaders and I'm sure many prayers for the city. We're trying to build some momentum, really going downhill, which is spiraling up under the Lord for kingdom work. So I'll listen.
Well, John, just an initial thought. This is Tom again. With what you're doing, your prayer walking, following the lead of the Holy Spirit to pray for the broken, the needy, you know, the lost in McKinney. There might be value in a forum, like a kingdom forum. It could be a half day, maybe it could be a whole day, where you pull together pastors, leaders of nonprofit ministries, business leaders that have a heart breaking for the city, your prayer mobilizers, people that really have a heart and a passion for intercession, some of your younger leaders, you know, the millennial leaders that are kind of coming on, and get together for a conversation, a forum. How can we build relationship together? How can we more effectively pray together regularly to actually, you know, increase the influence of the kingdom across McKinney? So an open conversation, let people tell their stories. You know, how's God burdening the heart for your city? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? How's he leading you? It's kind of like just connecting the dots, or it's like, you know, putting the coals, the embers together to see if you've got a little bit of a stronger fire. And so you could be a catalyst for that. You know, you could be a convener. You could be a man that blows the shofar. Somebody has to blow the shofar to say, our city's in trouble. Our city is in need. I'm sensing a leading from the Holy Spirit that we need to take Jesus seriously and walk together, pray together, and partner for the better good of our city. And you might be the guy, John, to blow the shofar and to just bring some other leaders together for that conversation.
I love it. Thank you.
Good.
This is Barney Fields from El Paso, and I'm delighted to hear what the Lord is doing around the world. Doing good work, Tom. Keep it up.
Thank you, Barney. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
It's George from Fresno, California. I'd love to hear my friend and partner, Tom. Would probably ask if you would just take the following the Holy Spirit in the U.S. context and drill down on the question of what would be maybe the one to three things that are hindering that the most. And in light of a meeting that we went to, a national meeting, where leaders of gospel movements didn't even schedule a time to pray together. So where's our camp? And what are some of the major hindrances?
Great, George. And this is George Ordway from Fresno. And George and I are partnering in developing the City Advance. It's a consultation, you know, for city movements in a region. So they've hosted two in Fresno. I referenced the City Advance in Mumbai, India. And so this is, I think, a very current, very effective design for practitioners, serious practitioners, to learn from one another. And so George and I talk about these things. Hindrances, the battle with time, busyness. I'm in Washington, D.C., and it's like the idea is really good. Yeah, we need to connect, and we need to build deeper relationship. But the frenetic pace of the culture in America and even worldwide really inhibits that. And so let me say it straight. We need to make time, take time, because it's important to be with one another. And to be in the presence of God. Dennis, you know, you're the leader of the Prayer Summit Ministry. These used to be 3 nights, 4 days. Now most of them with me, it's an overnight. It's 24 hours, 26 hours. Yeah, that's, you know, that's minimal, but it's okay. At least we're coming together. Washington, D.C. leaders asked me to do this in October. I said, okay, 26 hours, you know, put the word out. So I think that's one thing. And then maybe just not being desperate enough. We're talking about our America falling apart. You know, we're in just a frightening place. I was going to say crazy, but we're in a frightening place. We've got to get desperate to say we must seek the Lord together. We have to pray. together to say, God, how would you guide us as kingdom leaders to bring solutions in our cities, in a local context? So I think those two things, George, being serious about taking time in a prayer summit setting, being serious about desperate prayer, learning from Israel, learning from Indonesia, learning from India. I mean, these other places where it's like, okay, we are not getting this. We need to practice something from these other contexts.
So just a quick follow-up is you use the, and this is just because I know you so well, so I'm exposing you here. You use the following the Holy Spirit concept as a leadership process. Maybe you could explain how you use that concept in a leadership process.
Very, very good. One of the favorite things I do in a prayer summit, George, is a corporate inquiry, where we as leaders actually give the Spirit of God time to talk to us, through the scripture, obviously, through prayer promptings, prayer burdens, prophetic words, even through vision. And so when we're together, we've been praying together, worshiping for a period of time, I'll say to the leaders, what would the Spirit of God say to you, the kingdom leaders of Fresno, or of Corvallis, Oregon, or Vancouver, Washington, or Chicago, where Phil lives? How would God get our attention? So when we put that out there as an inquiry, we say, Lord, talk to us, get our attention. Just like a parent grabs the chin of a child. You know, I'm here in D.C., I'm taking care of my grandchildren. Man, you got to grab their heads, grab their ears, look at them in the eye, listen to me. So how would God be doing that? So, you know, I've learned to facilitate a process with leaders in the city context to say, let's let God do that. You know, grab us by the chin and say, look, this is what I'm saying to you, the kingdom-minded leaders of your city. This is how you need to walk together. Here's who you need to bring into the mix. Here's how you need to pray more regularly, more desperately for your city. And so, yeah, I often facilitate that process for, you know, the kingdom leaders that are coming online with John 17 expression in a city. I don't know if that gets to your question, George, or not.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
We need to wrap this up here. We're a little bit over our. We typically do about 40 minutes or so. So we need to be wrapping it up. One of the comments that came to my mind is I have prayed in my city and for other cities that the whole realm of corporate prayer amongst the leaders would move from an option to a requirement. But people in our thinking, we would too often, I think one of the reasons why we don't spend time praying together is because we see it as optional. My primary calling is over here, and if I have time, I'll do this over there. But one of my prayers is that it would move from optional to requirement in our own thinking. So, Tom, I want to ask if you would wrap it up in prayer, and maybe just grab these first three things that you mentioned about following the Holy Spirit. Praying and providing leadership, and just take this before the throne that we representatives of cities across America here would see progress in those areas in our city.
Mm-hmm. Glad to, Dennis. Let's just go before the Father for a few moments. Father, you are listening in. Father, Son, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I just thank you for Kopi. Thank you for John, for George, Lord, any others listening, even by podcast from any city in our nation. God, we are troubled. We're perplexed. We're losing sleep over daily troublesome things happening in our cities, and violence and murder, political chaos. God, we've never been here before. I'm just going to say this. I believe we are under your judgment. And we are experiencing, God, your corrective hand, touching our nation, getting our attention. And I believe, God, that we as leaders in any given city can stand up and say, look, I'm going to take Jesus seriously. I'm going to heed the exhortation of Paul to make every effort to walk with my brothers and sisters in unity. So, Father, I ask for a release of an impartation through this prayer and in this call, and any who listen, an impartation, a stirring of your Holy Spirit, God, toward a hunger for a greater unity, a hunger for friendship, God, a hunger to take time with other leaders, to really enter their worlds, and leaders from other cultures, other color within our cities. And God, I also pray that you would release an impartation, a stirring of your Spirit for desperate prayer.
Yeah. God,
to cry out to you and say, Lord, if we don't obey you, if we don't follow your way, then we are going to see judgment fall upon our cities and our nation. And so, God, release that stirring and also release revelation of how you want us to walk together as kingdom-minded men and women and old and young in our city movements. God, pour out your Spirit next weekend here in Washington, D.C. at the Together gathering. Lord, they're hoping for a million. And Lord, it's not about a big movement or a big gathering, but pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on Movement Day in October as leaders of movements around the world come together to learn. Get our attention and cause us to hear you clearly and obey you with courage. And I pray your blessing on Phil and Dennis and others in the Love 2020 movement. God, bring forth harvest. Bring an increase of harvest of souls across our nation. For the honor of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, those who called in. Phil, thank you very much for the good interaction. And we just join you, Tom, in prayer and ongoing impact from this call. Thanks.
Thank you, brothers.
Yep.
Tom, hang on a second. Dennis, stop the recording if you would.